May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God. Please be seated. Well, a rather large train was pulling its passengers with two huge engines, and it was making its way across America. While crossing across the western mountains, one of its engines broke down. No problem, the engineer said. We can make it to Denver, and then we'll get a replacement engine there. This is what he thought, and he carried on with half the power that it's possible of having. Farther down the line, the other engine broke down as well, and the train came to a standstill in the middle of nowhere. The engineer needed to inform the passengers about why the train had stopped, and he figured, well, he didn't want to upset them too much, so he tried to look on the brighter side of the incident. He made the following assessments, and he made the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your engineer. I have some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that both engines have failed us, and we will be stuck here for quite some time until the additional engine arrives and they're able to replace it. The good news is, you can thank God that you didn't make this trip in an airplane. All right? Yeah, that's the way to look at it. Well, that would be good news under the circumstances, of course. If you're going to lose both your engines, better to do it on a train than an airplane. But I have some even better news for you this morning. God's love for you and me is intimate and it's unimaginable. Unbelievable how much God loves us. In the gospel we've heard today, one of the most important scriptural reminders of our love that the Heavenly Father has for his children, you and me. It tells us how far-reaching God's love is. And he talks about a couple sparrows that are sold for a penny. And Jesus asks them, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered by him. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than any sparrows. What a more moving testimony to this very intimate love that you and I have to God our Father. A second grader once asked his teacher, how much the earth weighed? And the teacher looked it up in the internet and found this answer. And I quote, 1,000 trillion metric tons, she answered the little boy. And the little boy thought for a minute and then asked, is that with or without people on it? So viewed from one perspective, it might be very well that people don't really matter that much in the grand scheme of things. After all, we are but a microscopic inhabitant of a somewhat minuscule planet orbiting a relatively obscure star in a small galaxy among the billions of stars and galaxies that make up creation. Yet the God of creation has counted the very hairs on your head. Wow. What a magnificent picture of love between you and our Heavenly Father. But wait a minute. Here we go. There's a troubling side to Jesus' teaching about the sparrows. And it has to do with those two engines, too, that failed on the train. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Jesus asked. Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Okay, this text recognizes that sparrows do fall from the sky and die. It happens all the time. Jet engines suck them up in their engines. Predators prey upon the young, kill the whole nest of birds. And suddenly storms or droughts can deprive them of their livelihood. God does not protect the tiny sparrows from life's tragedies. Neither does God protect you or me. Engines have been known to fall from the sky. Engines have been called to blow up. And there are many in the world whose Christians die on these incidents. and it doesn't make any difference you are a Christian or not. Mature Christians realize the truth, but there are many preachers in our Christianity who speak about the path to heaven as something easy, and prosperity in our society will be yours if you say this amount of prayers and give this amount of money. The point needs to be made. It is troubling truth, but it's true. Sparrows, innocent sparrows, do die. Thornton Wilder dealt with this hard truth in a story entitled Bridge Over the River, over the San Luis River. A village had been hit hard by a tornado, and a priest by the name of Father Juniper tries to understand the depth of this and why this happened this way. Were there anyone saved in the tragedy? There were some that were saved, but a lot of his friends died. So he draws up a chart of the characteristics of 15 victims of this terrible disaster and 15 survivors, rating them for such qualities as goodness, piety, and usefulness. When he adds up the total of the victims and compares them with those that survived, he figures show that tragically, the dead were 5 times more worthy of saving than those who lived through the pestilence. This unexpected result causes Father Juniper great distress of mind and soul. And it causes much distress for us as well. God's love does not protect us from life's problems. It's the most difficult thing for us Christians to understand. Why do the righteous suffer so much? Here's a common phrase that only the good die young. There's some truth to that. Scoundrels seem to go on and on forever and ever. That's not always true, of course. But that is sometimes, that's how it works. Why in heaven's name should that be so? Don't know. One answer may come for looking at our families that we live with. Those of you who are parents, if you ask the question, would you protect your child from all life problems if you could? And immediately our first reaction probably is, yes, oh yeah. I'd build a big bubble around them so that Joy and Sean wouldn't get hurt by any of the life's problems. But we know in family life, it doesn't work that way. We could have the best family in the world, and things happen. Yes, when someone abuses me or some of them, I get angry. Or when someone is comforting and in a crisis, it is we who toss and turn in our beds with sleepless nights. We would like to protect our young from anything and every hurt. It just doesn't happen that way. We have neighbors across from us in the back. We live in Claremont. And I've heard that his wife was dead. And how did she die? We asked the question. Well, she was going to pick up her children from the school, elementary school, and she was walking across the pedestrian crossway. You know, they're marked off with big yellow things on the sidewalk cement. She's walking across to get her children, 5 and 7 years old, and bring them home from school. A car comes whizzing by the side, not conscious of how fast they're going, of course, bumps right to her, rolls over her, kills her immediately. And the two children are standing there waiting for her to pick them up. Why did that happen? I went over and gave my condolences to the dad the next day, and he looked like he was numb. And I said, God be with you. He said, well, we're not the church. I had my collar on, of course, and coming from a meeting. He said, we're not the church-going kind of people. He said, but I'm going through hell right now. I said, I bet you are. And we're going to be praying for you. His name is John Jones. I don't know her first name. Last name is Mrs. Jones. Pray for them. They don't have a church home. And we'll try to make our best to see if something happens somewhere along the way. It wasn't time to invite them to church right then and there, I didn't think. But overcoming an obstacle like that, of the death of your spouse like that, and then what are you going to do with the two little ones? the problems that came onto him were very heavy, and he felt like he was in hell. Overcoming obstacles, though, produces character. We know that. And it produces something that is deep within us, but not obvious. God has placed us in a world that is destined to bring out the best within us when we deal with life with an attitude of faith and love. That does not mean that God has forsaken us or forgotten us, although sometimes it feels that way. It simply means that the world is a training school designed to produce souls fit to share eternity with God our Father. Sparrows do fall. Innocent people are killed. And there's a second truth to this parable. God's love does not protect us from life's problems. Neither are life's problems God's punishment for those who sinned. This truth is made obvious in the book of Job. Remember that beautiful story? Job, this wealthy man living in land called Uz, with his large family and extensive flocks, he was blameless and an all right guy. Yet God allows Satan to torment Job to test his faith. You know how the story goes. Job's livestock, his servants, and his 10 children all die either to marauding invaders or natural catastrophes. And when all this happens to Job, he tears his clothes and shaves his head in mourning, and he still blesses God in his prayers. What a man. Then on top of all this, he's afflicted with a horrible skin disease. His wife urges him to curse God and to give up and die. Job then refuses and curses the day he was born, but he refuses to curse God. Three of Job's friends come to visit him. A big help they are. They accuse him of deserving his wretchedness and know that he deserves what he's getting. He believes that he didn't deserve it. He refuses to give up, and the result is that Job's faith is finally vindicated, and God blesses him more than ever before. Great ending. Not always ends that way. The book of Job still leaves many questions unanswered, but it is a mighty affirmation that adversity does not come as a punishment from God for our sins. And Jesus' disciples were undoubtedly familiar with this story, heard it many times and believed it, but then they see a blind man on the street corner begging. And they ask Jesus, "Well, who sinned, he or his parents?" And Jesus sort of gets upset with them and says, "How often do I have to tell you? The blame itself is not on them. God must be using child's sickness," they said, "to punish him." And Jesus says, "No, our God doesn't work like that. God, how pity their God, your God must be," he tells them, "to believe something like that." "No," Jesus said, "a thousand times, no. God is a God of grace. And without needing to crush and add any burden on those who are suffering." Here is why our theology of the cross of Christ becomes crucial to us and very comforting. You and I are under the rule of grace. That is, we believe something happened on that cross of Calvary that has forever changed the relationship that you and I have between God and us. Because of what happened there on the cross, the believer in Christ has all his or her sins forgiven and forgotten. Not to be sure, as free moral agents living in a lawful world, we have to live with the consequences of our misdoings. If I abuse my body, sooner or later, it will catch up with me. If I cheat on my taxes, Uncle Sam is going to punish me. In terms of my relationship with God, however, my sins are buried at the bottom of the deepest part of the sea, never to surface again. They are gone forever. If you believe that Christ has atoned for your sins, you cannot believe that God is using some adverse circumstance to punish you. The two are mutually exclusive. Sparrows do fall from the sky. That is not because they have been good sparrows or bad sparrows, however you can tell the difference. They fall because they are part of a lawful universe in which the unfortunate tragedies occur every day. But listen, here is the good news. The little sparrows never falls beyond God's watchful eyes. The child of God who knows that he or she is under the watchful eye of God can, by his grace, know that God is with them. To bear any burden and triumph over any tragedy, get on top of any circumstance, because he or she knows that you are not alone. Remember St. Paul's litany of misfortunes that he went through? 5 times he says, I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods since I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move and on and on. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and dark, continues. Yet in all these things, St. Paul heard the Lord's voice say, my grace is sufficient for you. For many of us, the injustice of the world combined with the love of the Father is the best assurance we have of a world beyond this one. Someday, somehow, somewhere, accounts must be settled. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I know God, what God is like. He is a God who cares for children, even cares for sparrows. He is a God who notices them, and he cares for them. But he loves you and me very, very more than that. He cares for them, and we still have to face our obstacles. We do not face them alone. Someday, somehow, all that is hurtful and bad will be turned into something helpful, and we shall live with joy in God's house forever. So I ask you, please pray for the Jones family that don't go to church. Please pray for me to know some way that I can be of assistance to them, and Kathy, that we can help them know a little bit more about a loving God. Amen. Amen.